welcome you here to Bear Creek. So good to have you and to see each of you today. Y'all ready for Christmas? Guys, you have all your shopping done for your wives? Is that Christmas Eve? Is that when you do it? Christmas Eve? Well, I want to welcome you here. You know, each Sunday in the month of December, we, just for fun, give a gift away to somebody. And somebody got a little piece of paper when they came in. Who was that? Hold it up. Come on up here. Michael, you got to come up here, man. You're going to love this gift. You're going to love this gift. Now, the deal is you got to open it up. And we got to show people what this is today. I never get something. I don't get anything real serious, okay? Now, look at this, man. You needed a 2019 calendar. This is a llama drama calendar for the brown house. You can put that up on your refrigerator. Michelle, you got to put that on your refrigerator when he gets home, so. You never know what you're going to get. Let me share this with you. My son, he goes to Trinity Christian Academy. And several of our kids here go to Trinity Christian Academy, and they were in the state football championship this year. You're going to see a picture of them up here on the screen. But they won the state championship. Isn't that awesome? You see it back there? Well, let's put it this way. I thought I had a picture of them. It's on the desktop. I probably forgot to put it in. But anyway, listen. So Kobe, some of you know that Kobe has defeated cancer. And now they're still monitoring. Now Kobe is our youth and children's director's son. And they're still monitoring him, so he still has a port in. But they allowed him to kick. And he kicked a 3-point field goal during the game. And not only that, we won 15-14. So you think that field goal was important? Isn't God good? And it was pouring down the rain, you know. So I just wanted to bring that up, you know. Sorry about that. Let's move on. You know, last week, we've been going through this series this month, Finding Peace. It's so important. I remember years ago in the 1980s, I think it was like 82, 83, the Cabbage Patch craze. Y'all remember that? Anybody here remember the Cabbage Patch craze? People were getting killed in the store over these little dolls. And if you go on YouTube or something and you watch some of the footage and some of the reporters, you'll see people crying, and they're like, well, what am I going to do? They're out of Cabbage Patch dolls. And it was just such chaos. And it's so weird how we make a time that's supposed to be a time of reflecting on our Lord and Savior and a time of reflecting on his birth, and we turn it into something that it shouldn't be. We turn it into a time of stress and anxiety and planning, and just we pile stuff on, don't we? And we give so much attention to all these things that don't really amount to a whole lot. And so I wanted to, this whole month, sort of regroup and just share each week a little bit more about the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Does that sound good? Amen. Well, so last week we learned about that finding peace is about trusting God. Remember that? John chapter 14. That there is that's the peace of God, right? Well, today we're going to look at having peace with God. Peace with God. And listen, peace with God leads to peace within, right? Having peace with God leads to having peace within and making things right with God. It's foundational. It's a foundational component of peace, making things right between you and the Lord. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Anybody know who Bear Grylls is? Well, those of you who don't, let's put a picture of him up here, if we could. Oh, we have that picture. Good. So this is Bear Grylls. He has a TV show called Man vs. Wild. I didn't know this, but each week he has an average of 1.3 billion viewers around the world. This show is around the world. And so you can leave that picture up, but he wrote a biography about his life. This guy's crazy. You don't get much tougher than Bear Grylls. But his new biography, I was reading some excerpts because I kind of cheat sometimes. I don't get the book. I'll just read the summary of the book, okay? Don't try that at school, students, okay? But I was reading a little bit of the summary of this book, and, you know, he's a man of just amazing faith. He loves the Lord. And he has a book called Mud, Sweat, and Tears. And I read that article about that book. And if there's anyone who should be experiencing anxiety and stress, it's this Bear Grylls guy. If you ever watch his show, he has survived multiple injuries, multiple broken bones. He broke his back once when he was parachuting out of a plane. Just some pretty significant injuries, tons of near-death experiences. You can actually see a few on his show. He's climbed Mount Everest and survived that. He's endured the special forces. He was in the special forces. But his crew that follows him around, they'll tell you what's the most amazing thing about him is he's calm under pressure. He has this amazing calm under pressure. And so here's what Bear Grylls writes. He says, "Faith in Christ has been the greatest empowering presence in my life, helping me walk strong when so often I feel so weak. Christ has been the empowering presence who brings me peace." And so here's a guy who has been in real life and death situations. He's been in lots of stressful situations. But his faith in Christ has given him what he calls this amazing peace. Amazing peace. And I've had, you know, over time, some people who have told me that they're, well, I've noticed that they're some of the most unforgiving people I've met before, but yet they'll say that they have forgiven. And I'll meet people who have anger problems, and they'll say, you know, I don't really have an anger problem. And I'll meet people, even people who say they have peace, but then I see all this turmoil in their lives. And so it's kind of hard, you know, as we live. We have to get to this place, especially in our faith. And look, I want to appeal to anyone, even if you don't have a relationship with Christ, to just do some soul searching, because I'll tell you, it's so easy to be tricked and to fooled into thinking we are heading in the right direction when we're not. And it's so, deep down, I think we're all hypocrites, you know what I mean? Where we believe some things about ourselves that are just not true. And then we judge other people, and we ourselves fall so short. And so I just want to make an appeal to you, because in order for you to make your way to this place of peace with God, you've got to get really real with him. To this place where you come to him in humility, and you come to him in honesty, and you do some soul searching as you look at his word, as you read the truth of his word, you begin to just take an honest approach to your life. And I've had to do that multiple times. I still find myself going astray and not realizing I'm doing some of the things that I'm doing, and then the Lord has to sort of highlight them to me. And I always say, Lord, please, just break it to me gently. Break it to me gently. But to really, really come to grips with who you are and why you do what you do, you have to just get honest and you have to humble yourself before a mighty and powerful and holy God and let him do the talking and you do the receiving. I like to call it getting in alignment with God, aligning your heart with God where you're in agreement with him. Because so many times we try to take our sin and we try to adopt it into our lives and we just say, this is who I am. And it's just how I am, and this is just the way God has made me, and that's just a lie. And so that's my appeal to us all as we're reading through this and as we're reading through his word today, is for us to just get open and real about our own lives. You know, biblical, Christ-centered peace, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's a peace that when the world sees it, they're just enamored and they're in awe because you just don't find this kind of peace in the world. And those who experience this kind of peace, they still grieve. And listen, they still struggle. But underneath the tears and underneath the sorrow and underneath the struggle and difficulty, underneath the physical aspects and the struggles and the circumstances, there is this assurity that God is in control. Well, where does that come from? This assurity that he is in control, that there's this clear confidence that we serve, that they serve a God who's greater than all circumstances on this earth. Y'all realize, right, that this earth is going to go away one day. Your time will expire, okay? And we serve a God that's so beyond this temporary world. We get so caught up in the mundane little details and the Cabbage Patch dolls. We get so caught up in those kinds of things. We don't see the bigger picture. And I'll tell you, we find peace in the bigger picture. We find peace in that bigger picture. Have you ever noticed that when you have a relationship at home that's in distress, that it's hard for you to have peace? You ever understood that these key relationships, the relationship between you and your children, between you and your spouse, these intimate, close relationships, when those are in turmoil, or when there's a struggle there, you're struggling with peace. I think that God uses that because he uses these physical, earthly relationships to help us relate to him. He uses marriage. He uses friendships. He uses fellowship among believers to help us relate more to who he is and his character. And so as you notice these earthly relationships, when they're in struggle, when they're in turmoil, you'll find that you're struggling with peace. Well, even greater than that, even greater than that. So I had my wreath fall. I had my psychedelic light going on and off all during the service today. It's distracting me. That wasn't intentional, by the way. We don't do this every single week. That thing had a life of its own today. But we notice that God, he does this. And I want you to think about the key relationship. When our key relationships are out of whack, our peace is out of whack. And finding peace, it's about making things right with God. Because have you noticed that when we make things right in our homes with our loved ones, peace begins to happen again in the home? Well, even greater than that, when we make things right between us and God, peace begins to come over our entire lives. It's a beautiful thing. We were created so that the most important thing in our lives, the most important thing in our lives, is our relationship with God. And when we make that right, when our worship is right, when our time with God, when our lives are right, as we stand before a holy God, when our lives are made right, we can be at peace. We can have peace with God, because a right relationship with God equals peace with God. And what we experience when we have peace with God is peace within. I mentioned that at the beginning. But peace, because it's a peace because we have faith, right? We trust that the person and the works of Jesus Christ, we trust those things that Jesus did on the cross. And God, and we're going to see this in today's message, we're going to see how when we are made right with God, we experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. So the question is, have you made things right with the Lord? Have you made things right with God so you can experience the peace of God? That's so important. And what there's no greater gift than to make things right with God. The gift of Jesus Christ is the greatest gift you can receive this Christmas. So before we get into today's passage, I want to go through a couple little things, and then we're going to dig right in, all right? I want to first just talk to you about what this word justification means. You'll hear theologians use this. This is an important truth that we find in Scripture. And so I want to just kind of briefly cover what that means so we can understand what this passage is saying today. Simply put, justification, or to be justified, means to be declared righteous. It means to be made right with God. Okay, so basically what we've been talking about so far, that's what justification is. It's being made righteous, being made right before God. And just to understand what this means, we have to know a couple of things about God and a couple of things about ourselves. Number one, about God, is God is, he is completely holy. Isaiah says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of all, Lord God Almighty. He is far above us. He is wholly other. He is so separated from us. We so often we find ourselves trying to humanize God and make God like us. We got to be very careful. You know, it was one of the Ten Commandments. Do not make for yourselves graven images. We make a graven image of God when we try to create a God that does not reflect what Scripture says. We try to create a God that matches what we want him to be. Okay, so we got to step back, because that's creating a graven image of God. That's a sin. We got to step back, and we have to receive what the Scripture says, who he is. And he is holy. He is far beyond us. The only way to understand him is through his word and through this relationship with him. And so so that's number one. He's completely holy. Number two, he is completely, and people are not going to like this in our world, he's completely intolerant of sin. 100% intolerant of sin. Completely intolerant of sin. And so that's God. What about us? Well, with us, we are completely sinful. So you have a God who's holy, perfect. That's what holy is. He is perfect. You have a God who is intolerant of sin. And now we talk about us and we say, we are utterly sinful. We are totally depraved from what the Bible says. If we hold to that the Bible is true, this is what the Word of God says. And so we have this big problem, don't we, as we stand before God. And, you know, our relationship is not off to a good start with him. So what is God, what is his response to our sin? Well, it's wrath, it's judgment, it's all the things that so many people these days are so afraid to preach about. But I'll tell you, we have to understand this. The consequences of our sin is his wrath, his judgment, his condemnation. Does he want that? No. And here's what, you've probably heard me say this before. Why does God allow good people to go to heaven, right? He doesn't send anybody to hell. Or why would God send anyone to hell? He doesn't send anyone to hell. We're already heading there. He offers a solution to save us from it, all right? And so catch this. Yes, God is love, okay? That is so important. It is not only his greatest attribute, but it's what he has called us to, as his greatest command is for us to love. So yes, God is love. But our sin makes us an enemy of a loving God. And not only is he loving, but he's just. That means he is perfectly just. And so he is a judge. And one day all of us will stand before the judge. This is a great Christmas message, okay? But all of us will stand before the judge one day and we'll have to give an account for the sin. And the Bible says sin separates us from God. It says we are an enemy of God. We are an offense to God because of our sin. So what's his solution? What's God's answer? His answer is to sacrifice his only begotten son for you. Well, who is he? Well, he is 100% holy. He is 100% God, 100% deity. That's Jesus. And he is 100% man. He was sent to this earth, born of a virgin. You remember the story? We're going to be reading about it in a couple weeks. Born in a stable. And he was sent by God. Why? To be a sacrifice. They called him the Lamb of God. Why? Because the Bible says there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And so in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice lambs and animals to atone for their sins. Well, Jesus was the final sacrifice. They called him the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, perfectly innocent of sin, fully God, fully man. So this word justified, it's a legal term. And it's a legal declaration where God pardons the sinner of all of his and her sins. The sinner is released. He has accepted the sinner. He accounts the sinner as righteous. And so what happens is Jesus receives all of your sin and you receive all of his righteousness and you are justified. You are covered. You are covered. It's an imputed righteousness. It's not an earned righteousness. It's the righteousness of God being imputed to your life. Your sin debt was too much. It was too much to pay back. It was too much to carry. And so all of that sin debt was put on Jesus on the cross, and he died for your sins. But not only did he die for your sins, but he imputed his righteousness on you. He took all of your sin debt, you took all of his righteousness. Amazing, isn't it? And listen, so God declares the sinner righteous at the very moment that sinner puts his faith, puts his trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At that moment, you are justified. You are justified. So the question is, what is the basis for what God does? Well, God justifies, he makes right the sinner solely based on Jesus' perfect obedience and Jesus' sacrifice. And we are not justified by our own good deeds. That can't happen. Our sin debt will always outweigh our good deeds, always. Because our thoughts are sinful, our actions are sinful, and our attitudes are sinful. And there's always these motives behind the scenes that are sinful. Sometimes we can't even identify where they're at. Most of the time we can't. And so we need his covering. We need his righteousness. We need to be justified as we stand before a holy God. All right? And this is why the veil was torn when Jesus was hung on the cross. When he hung on the cross and it says, he says, it is finished and the veil was torn. What that symbolizes is man could no longer, could not look at the holiness of God. But now they had to stay behind the veil, but now the veil is torn and we can step into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because we are covered by the righteousness of God. Thanks to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. It's an amazing thing. And so we move to the book of Romans, if you'll turn with me. We're going to be in chapter 5, but I'm going to walk through a couple things in chapter 4, and then we'll close out, okay? I love the book of Romans. Paul's primary reason for writing this book was to teach something really important to us about the gospel. He talks about the law of the Old Testament and the grace of God. And he shows us the difference between the two. He talks a lot about righteousness, and he helps us to gain some clarity on this issue of justification. And so it's so important. And in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17, this is what Paul says, and it sort of sets the tone or the theme for this whole book. He says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Those who are righteous, they shall live by faith. The righteous, those who are made right before God, shall live by faith." So in Romans chapter 4, Paul talks about the faith of Abraham, okay? And it's important to know, even when the law was given in the Old Testament, God was looking for faith. Isn't that interesting? We're told that the Old Testament is all about the law, the law, the law, the law. But we read some things about Abraham. And it's interesting that to God, even back then, it was all about the faith. And, you know, a lost person, they can follow some of God's laws, okay? And some things could go well with a lost person because they follow the law. That's just the way God has made the law. And so some things might go well. Well, things might go well for a person who's lost, who follows the law, but they can't make themselves righteous. They can't make themselves righteous. Only Jesus can do that. And so if you take somebody like a serial killer, all right, who comes to know Christ in prison, remember James Dobson led Ted Bundy to Christ, he was a serial killer, okay? Then you think of your sweet, you know, neighbor, Miss Myrtle, okay? Who never trusted Christ, but she's so sweet, she brings you apple pie, and she has done so many things for you, and you got a serial killer and sweet Miss Myrtle, okay? Well, sweet Miss Myrtle, if she's never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, she's still going to hell, all right? And Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, guess what? He's going to heaven if he's trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Why is that? It's the imputed righteousness of God, okay? He is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His life has been transformed. He is a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, and behold, all things become new. Thank the Lord for that. All right? And so I'm getting a little off track. Okay, let me get back on track here. Okay, so let's go to chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to this. For if Abraham, you're going to see this on the screen, for if Abraham was justified by works, He has something to boast about, but not before God. No man on earth can boast about their righteous acts. No man, no person on this earth can boast and gloat about their righteous acts. Because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. For every good deed that we do, there's 1,000 sins piling up in our debt account. We cannot be justified by good works. It's not by our effort. Every other religion in the world will say you can do it by good works. But the one true religion, the one true faith, the one true God says, it is only by my Son. It's only by my Son. Chapter 4, verse 3 in Romans. For what does the scripture say? So he's kind of throwing this question out there. And then Paul says this, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed, he put his faith in God. This is the Old Testament. Remember, everybody says the Old Testament's all about the law. God was looking for faith in the Old Testament, okay? And so what he's doing is he's reminding them, look back at Abraham. Look, you guys, it's not about the law, even Abraham. Scripture says, this is Paul speaking, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him. It was put into his account as righteousness. Verse 4, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. So what is he saying here? The one that works earns equal pay, right? Well, listen, our work will never be good enough. And the debt is too much to pay. We don't want equal pay for equal works. We don't want that. We don't want to say, God, please judge me by my merit. God, please judge me by my good works. We do not want that. What you want is grace. You want the grace of God. That's what you want. And so he goes on, and I want you to know this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. This pretty much addresses what we were just talking about. It is not by your works. Okay, verse 5, look at this. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So what this is saying, and the one, he doesn't do good works, he's not trying to earn, but he believes in God. He put his faith in him, and it says, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. How? By faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the only way. So remember last week, and I just want to kind of go through this. Finding peace is about trusting God. It's about putting our faith and our trust in him. And so it was beautiful, and I didn't get enough time to share this last week, and I hope you'll give me just a few more minutes here. But what Jesus does with his disciples is just amazing in that passage in chapter 14, because what he does is he says, believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, put your faith in me. And he's saying, look, do not be troubled. Do not allow your hearts to be troubled. And then he shares with them why. He says, because I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will also be. I'm leaving, but I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Mark that in the books. Mark that in your heart. Put that in your brain. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will be back to get you. And then he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Believe in me, believe in God, trust what I'm saying. Mark that in your brain, mark that in your heart. Know these things, know all of these rewards, because you're going to need to know these things, because in this world's going to be a lot of trouble. But let your heart not be troubled, because I'm giving you all this. And it's so much greater, because this is so temporal and this is so... So here today and gone tomorrow, it's fleeting. It's a vapor in the wind, the Bible says. It's going to go away, but I have something so much greater. Do you see how peace kind of starts to develop when you start thinking about this, about trusting in the person and the works of Jesus Christ? And so, but he went on and he says, I'll send you a helper, the Holy Spirit who will come. And so when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he gives us the helper, the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Convicts our hearts, guides us, keeps us on the path. Okay, conviction aligns us and aligns us with God's will and helps us to walk and helps us to trust in him. And then we move to the verse, the one verse that I was planning to share today. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified. We have been made right with him. Our lives are in turmoil. We don't realize it. You know, I read this story and wanted to share this with you as I close. You know, North Korea is a very dark place. And the people there, a lot of them just want to get out. Some of them are just so manipulated, they don't even know what to think and know where to go. But it's a very dark place. Anyone who tries to leave North Korea, they don't let people run to the border. They'll shoot them dead. And you've probably seen that in the news lately. So the military's told to shoot all defectors. So anyone caught fleeing, they get shot. And I read a statement by one of the defectors. His name is Joo Il Kim. He escaped back in 2016. He was in the North Korea military. Most of the men are. And he said he heard of a better life and the rumors of what it meant to be free. But he had been manipulated to believe so many lies. He didn't really know what to believe. But he was sort of an adventurer kind of guy and loved to take risks. And one of his buddies said, I'm out of here. Run with me. And they made a run for it. And they ran into South Korea. And then he reflects back. And he doesn't realize how much bondage he was in. The depression, the oppression, the weight of being under that regime was unbelievable. And now he's free. He didn't realize it. And he didn't realize the turmoil and the stress and the difficulty of living in that country until he was set free. And he experienced something outside of the darkness, and he stepped into the light of freedom. And here's what he says. My mind is clear now. My mind is free. I know what freedom is. And look, when you come to know Christ, you will one day come to me and say, Scott, my mind is clear, my heart is free, I am healed, and I am free because of what Christ has done. Amen? And look, that's peace. That's peace. That's having peace with God, being made right with God, all of your sin laid on Jesus on the cross. Look, Jesus died on the cross for all the world, okay? But it's only those who come to him in faith and put their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who become children of God, who become a new creation in Christ, who are imputed his righteousness and his goodness. And it's nothing we've done. It's all him. Let's pray. Father, I pray today for the peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that each person in this room knows how much they are loved and cared for. I pray also that they understand how fleeting life is and how easy it is to get caught up in the trivial stress and anxieties of this world, Lord. Give us the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of knowing you. Give us peace. The peace of God, give us the peace with God, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.